So,
last lecture we had some heap data structures to model priority queues. So the basic idea of a heap was just a tree where the element of each node is smaller than the elements of all nodes below this node. So getting the minimum element was very easy, just get the node, while removing the minimum element, where you somehow had to do something with the children of this node to get a single tree again. And we had leftist heaps and brown trees last time, and today we will do another data structure called binomial heaps. So who knows binomial heaps from some basic lecture? DAD, or how is it called? Okay. So there's a formalization. I should have uploaded it to material repository yesterday. And okay, so what's the basic idea? Let's not start with binomial heaps. Let's start with binary numbers. You all should know them. So the idea is we will use some tree data structure. First, it is not even important which tree data structure or which container data structure. But we use trees that only have the size 2 to the power of I. So we only use trees that have a size of a 2 power. But we use a list of these trees. So if we want to store store this number of elements, no idea what it is in decimal, 32, 48, 49 probably, no idea. So then, in order to store this number of elements, well, we build a tree with one element, a tree with 16 elements, and a tree with 32 elements, and store them in a list or array or whatsoever at the right positions, that it makes up a binary number. So at position zero, we have the 2 to the power of zeros. Here we have the 2 to the power of 1, 2 to the power of 2, 2 to the power of 3, 2 to the power of 4. So we have some data structure, be it a list or be it an array. And at position I, we either have a 0 or a 3 of size 2 to the power of I. So that's, if we only have trees that have a size 2 to the power of something, that's a unique way how to store n elements. We just decompose n to its binary representation, and we store, we split the elements to trees of these sizes. Yes?
What is B there?
It's just some notation. 0b something means it's a binary number. I think it's C or something like this. So I've seen this notation somewhere, so I adopted it. So it just is a binary number 11001. So that's the basic idea. So we want to have a data structure like this. So at its top level, it contains a list or an array, and the elements of this array are either zeros or trees. And the tree storing this number of elements. So this thing is, it works for some more data structures than heaps, and Okazaki calls it the numerical method and describes it in quite generality. Here I have specialized it to binomial heaps. Okay, what if we want to melt two trees? So to merge two trees? Well, we just do binary addition. So, and binary addition, I mean the standard algorithm that you
So when you're a magician, it's the algorithm you learn in school. So if you have two numbers, 0, 1, 1, 1, and let's say you have another number, 1, 0, 0, 1, well, in school you have learned an algorithm for decimal numbers. It of course also works for binary numbers. 1 plus 1 is 0, but you have to remember a carry. 1 plus 1 is 0, but you have to remember a carry. You have to remember a carry. And at the end, you're finished.
So you probably all have seen this algorithm. So that's how we merge two trees. And I have here, as you see, I have reversed the order of the numbers, because at the end I will store it as a list, and for a list, so here I had to go from right to left for this algorithm, but for a list it's much more easier to go from left to right, so I just reversed the numbers in order to make this addition faster. So there's one problem, what to do. So these are not numbers, these are trees now. So what to do if I have two ones here? I need to somehow produce a carry. So a carry would be a tree containing the elements of both, of this and this tree. So I need an operation to combine two trees of size 2 to the power of I to a new tree of size 2 to the power of I plus 1. So that's the operation that I need. So if I have, if this is a tree with one element and this is a tree with one element, in order to get the carry here, so this carry would be a tree with two elements. So I need some algorithm to combine or to link two trees to a new tree. And that's it. If I have this algorithm, then I can just do this standard addition.
Any questions to the basic idea? So what we need is, we need some tree representation where we have a nice link operation on it. And this tree representation should be a heap. So if the tree representation is a heap, so if we can maintain a heap property for the trees, for the single trees, then in order to do heap operations on this whole thing, we just say if we want to search for the minimum element, we search all the roots of the trees that are in this list. We can afford this, so it's remember it's a binary number, it has logarithmic size in the number of its elements. So we can afford to just search all roots of all trees in this list to find the minimum element. So that's the basic idea. And the other operations, melt, we have melt, that's no problem, we do this addition algorithm. So we need a tree representation with a link operation that maintains the heap property. And in order to delete the minimum, we need some way to remove a tree, delete the minimum element from this tree, and somehow insert the rest into this data structure again. And that will motivate our binomial tree structure that we use. So first of all, any questions to this basic idea of numeric, of addition, of how to generalize this binary addition algorithm to trees? Okay. So what we will do is, we will store our trees like this. So a tree is a node that has a rank. Rank is just some management information that we store. It's not strictly needed. We will use it here because, so I'm following the implementation of Okazaki that you find in Okazaki's book. I'm following it one to one. I have not modified it. And he claims it's simple. So he includes his rank with the claim that this is more simple to have to store it everywhere. Also, you would not need it everywhere. So then, of course, a node has a root. This is the element that we store, and a list of successors, a list of children. So it's not a fixed arity tree, but a tree can have a node can have any number of children. So for binomial trees, we say that a node of rank I has children of rank I minus 1 to 0. So if we have a node of rank I, so this is, let's say, rank 2, then this node must have children of rank 1 and rank 0. Well, the rank 0 node is a leaf. The rank 1 node must have children of rank 0. And if we would have a node of rank 3 here, well, then it must have children of rank 2, of rank 1, and of rank 0. So that's the structure, that's the data structure of binomial trees. And yeah, this is what this invariant here encodes in Isabel writing. So if you have a node with rank R, some data element, so UU is Isabel Pretty printing that comes out if you write an underscore. And yeah, so this is the definition of the invariant as a it's a function definition lemma, the simplification lemma, and if you write an underscore, Isabel converts this to some UU1 or something like this. So sorry for this. For this quirk in the slides, but these things are generated from the Isabel. So you have a node with rank R, some data elements stored there, and children C. Then it says, for all trees in the in set children, it must be binomial trees again. So this is an eta contracted for all T inset C B tree invar T, and yeah. So also this is unfortunately done by Isabel automatically. And the next thing says the ranks of the children are exactly the sequence from R to zero, excluding R, including zero. So I had to use the other sequence and turn it around because that's what Isabel supports. Isabel has only ascending lists, no descending lists notation, so I just turned it around. So that's how to write it in Isabel, and that's how to write it in text. So if you have a node with rank I, then the successors are t I minus 1 to t 0 that have these ranks. Any questions to this binomial tree? How is this organized? Okay. Yeah. So it's not hard to prove that a tree, a binomial tree, has exactly 2 to the power of its rank nodes. How would you prove it? So we could just do an induction over this tree data structure.
I really would like to use this board. If we power it on.
Where?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. So the problem is this one works.
Maybe you need to put the whiteboard into the board. You can use the box.
Yeah, this may be. It's a safety mechanism. This may be. Yeah. If I find how. No, is it better?
No.
Okay.
this. Okay, so let's do a an induction on this tree data structure. So we will get something like that we have a node. We will have to show that the size of some node with rank R, some data element and trees tr minus 1 to t0 equals 2 to the power of R. So this will be the what we have to prove, and the induction hypothesis will tell us that these trees, the sizes of these trees here, have already its so this is the induction hypothesis. These trees have their correct ranks. Okay. So how to estimate the size of this node? So the size of this node is 1 plus the sum of the sizes of these trees. Do you recognize the formula already? I just insert the induction hypothesis. Well, this is the sum of all powers of 2 up to r minus 1. So this is 1 plus 2 to the power of r minus 1. That's it.
Yes?
There is an element stored in the node itself. Okay, so this is just the idea that they store the right number of elements, and of course in Isabel, I think in Isabel you have to prove this formula that the sum has the right value. So this is sum is a 2 to the power of r minus 1, and if you have proved that and give it to the simplifier, it's an induct auto, the rest of the proof. Okay. So now we know how to organize our trees, and the trees have the right sizes to use them as trees in a binomial in this binomial data structure. Okay, how to link two trees? We have two trees of rank I, and we need to produce one tree of rank I plus 1. This is a carry. We have two trees of rank I, and we need to produce the new tree of rank I plus 1 to pass it on as carry. Yes?
And the one with a smaller root to the list of the number.
Exactly, that's... That's the idea. So if we have some node here with rank I, so it has its children I minus 1 to 0, and we have another one with rank I, and it has also its children here. So we choose the smaller, we choose a larger tree. Let's say this one is a larger element at its root. Well, this is a tree of rank I. If we add this tree to this list here, we get a tree of rank I plus 1 here. That's exactly how the structure can be built up. So that's the reason why we use this binomial structure. We can just link two trees of rank I. We can just move this tree here, and this tree will be a tree of rank I plus 1. And if we choose the new root to be the smaller one, then we even preserve the heap property, because all elements here are larger than the root, if the root is larger than this root. So we just link this thing here and get a tree of rank I plus 1. That's what link does.
So that's the idea, that's a crucial idea of this binomial heap, that we can easily link them and do this carry operation. And it's a constant time operation. We do not need to descend into the trees or something like this. We can just link them in constant time. So that's a link function in Isabel. In Isabel speaking, so we just check which one is the smaller one and do exactly this linking. And that's the reason why we store the children. Well, we store the children here in descending order. So remember, we stored the list. So we stored this list. We stored in reverse order so that we can do addition nicely. And here, the list that represents the children of the tree is stored in descending order, such that we can do link nicely, because link inserts the highest. A highest rank element. So we have to insert, we want to insert to the front. So if we want to insert to the front, we have to store the list in descending order. Otherwise, we would have to insert to the back here. And for lists, insertion to the front is constant time, but to the back in functional languages, where you have to iterate over the whole list just to find the insertion position. And even worse, while iterating over the whole list, you need to copy each cell. Okay, any questions to the link operation? Okay, so now we have a heap. We have a link operation. Now we need to implement the merge. So that's all operations we need for the trees. We have we will not look into the tree structure where we have one operation to remove the root node, but this will be later. So for now, to build up the trees, we only need links. That's it. We need an empty tree or a singleton node. There are no empty trees, so there are no empty binomial trees. The leaf has a data element. 2^0 is 1, so there must be one element in a tree at least. So the empty heap will be the empty list, being only zeros. Okay, so one more thing. We will use a sparse representation of binary numbers. So instead of storing zeros, so we could currently we store a binary number somewhat like this. We store it as a list, and it has 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1. So this might be how we store a binary number if we would write it just as a binary number. But for our purposes, we will store it as a sparse representation. So instead of doing this, we will store only the ones together with their position. So this is position 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So we would only, instead of this, we would only store a list. Well, at position 2, we have a 1, so this will be some 3, and at position 6, we have a 1. So we will only store this list. And recall in our tree, in our tree data structure, we store the ranks at each node. So there's no reason to store these indices again. We find that in the rank information at the root of the tree. So at the end, we only store a list of trees.
And at which position this tree is, we find in the rank information. So, yeah. So that's the idea of sparse representation of numbers. And as I said, you can also do it with a standard representation. I followed Okazaki, he uses a sparse representation. So we're doing exactly the thing that Okazaki describes here. Okay, so now we can store a heap just as a list of trees. we find the rank information at the roots of the trees. And the invariant must be that this list is in ascending order. So the ranks of the trees are in ascending order. So we do something like the invariant is, well, all trees must satisfy its all trees must satisfy the tree invariant, so we must have binomial trees. And the ranks of these trees must be a strictly ascending sequence. So strictly ascending is just some definition for distinct and sorted. So, yeah. Any questions to this heap invariant? So now we have heaps stored as sparse numbers, and we have the binomial trees inside, using binomial trees as elements. So the next is we have to do the operations. We have to do addition to scanning. So the first operation is a carry. We want to insert a single tree. So we have so the idea is we have some number. Let's do it like this. No, I want the one here. Okay. We have some number, and now there comes the carry. And we want to add this one tree to this number. So this is only the addition algorithm, but only for a single one that comes in here, a single carry. So we have this case. We have one and one. What do we have to do in the case one and one? Well, these two become a zero, and we get a symmetric situation here. Again, we have the case one and one, so this becomes a zero. And we have the symmetric situation here. Now we have the other case. We have a 0, 1. Well, in this case, we just put the 1 here and are done. So that's what this algorithm does on sparse numbers that are represented in the reverse order, of course. So you can see it checks in which case we are. So if rank of t1 is smaller than the rank of the first tree in this number, then we have the case 1, 0, because the first digit in this binary number, the first one in this number, is higher than the rank of this tree, so there are a few zeros before. Then we can just put the tree here. This is the case that we had a 1, 0. So we know we have a tree of this rank here, but the first one in the above thing is somewhere here. This is the sparse representation, so it will not store the zeros, but it will store some tree here that has a higher rank than this position. Other? Yes?
the precondition is that it must be smaller
or equal. I will come to this.
Otherwise the rank is equal, because we will go in with the precondition that the rank of the T1 must be smaller than or equal to the three
to the ranks in this number. So it makes no sense
to add it makes no sense to do a single carry and start somewhere in the middle of the number. So if we want to do a single carry, so add a single one or a single three, we must somehow start at the lowest digit and shift the carry from the lowest digit through. And it makes no sense to start, let's start with the carry here. So that's why we have this precondition. So the other case is actually the ranks of the trees are equal. So this is the case that we have 1, 1. Well, then we have to produce a new carry, which is exactly the link of the two trees. And we have to remove the old tree. So there will be a zero here now. And that's exactly what happens here. So I link these two trees and iterate to add them to the rest. So I get the symmetric after doing this. If I have produced the carry, I have the symmetric situation on the rest. And I can continue recursively. So that's how this carry algorithm works. So this gives us how to handle a single carry. And having this, we can build up the merge algorithm. So the merge algorithm does this addition, but in a slightly strange way. This is again the implementation of Okazaki, and as I said, I'm following Okazaki's book here. So he implements it like this. So these two cases are clear. We add a zero to something else, and here we are in the case. Here we are in the case that we have actually numbers. So we want to add two numbers. Let's say we want to add these two numbers. So we start here. We have a 0, 1. So we end up in one of the first two cases where there is a 0, 1. Because the rank of the first, so remember we don't store the zeros. So the rank of the first number in T1 is greater than the rank of the first number in T2. So we end up in the second case. So what do we do? Well, the result is this one, which is T2, and then we add the rest. We add up the rest, because for the rest, and the rest is the rest of this number and the rest of this number, and remember we don't store the zero, so it will the TS1 will be unchanged, because the T1 actually is not this zero, but the T1 is this one, and we have to keep it. So the first case is exactly the other way around, so that we have a 1 here and a 0 here. The interesting case is what happens now if we have a 1 and a 1. So this is the second case. So in the last case the two ranks must be equal. So ranks are natural numbers, and if they're neither smaller nor greater, they must be equal. In this case, we first add up. The rest. So this is how this algorithm proceeds. We first add up the rest.
So it recurses, it goes recursively, produces the sum of the rest, which is just the one. So let's put two ones here to get not numbers with leading zeros. So it adds up the rest. And after it has add up the rest, it shifts the carry to the result. So it does not, the standard algorithm does it in one go, just remembering whether we have a carry or not. This algorithm does two goes. First go to add up the numbers, second go to shift in the carry, using this INS tree algorithm that we had to shift in a carry. So this is first go, and in the second go it will link these two trees, produce the carry, and shift in the carry. This would then be something like this. So this is how this merge algorithm of Okazaki works. You can also try to implement this algorithm. It should also work on binomial trees. Unfortunately, we have not enough space on the homework assignments. Or fortunately for you, we said that we do not want to make that big homework assignments. So this all would be good homework assignments, but they are not in there. So we use this addition algorithm. Any questions to this addition algorithm? Okay. The intuition of this algorithm is, as I did on the board, it's the addition of binary numbers. And the specialty is that the carry is done in a second pass after the addition of the rest of the numbers. Last operation. So now we have MELT. We have MELT operation. So with the MELT operation, we can do insert and MELT. So we need to find and delete the minimum element. That's the last remaining operation here. As I said, all trees. All the trees are min heaps, so they all satisfy the heap property. So the smallest element may be any root node stored in this list. So if we have this data structure, then we need the minimum element may be here or here at the root. So in order to find the minimal element, we know the minimal element is just the minimum of the roots of all the trees in the set. And you can, this is of course not the definition of find min, it's just an alternative definition of it. So you can think of how to implement it as a function, as a recursive function. This was just, this is just a more intuitive way of writing it. Of course you would implement it with a fold or how whatsoever in the material implementation, it's explicitly written as a recursive function, but that's what it does. It just finds the minimum element of the roots of all trees in the set. Any questions to this? Okay, so similar, we defined a get min operation that does not only find the element, but it returns the tree with the minimum element, and it returns the list of the trees with this tree removed. So this operation, if I have a heap that looks like T1, T3, T4, and T5, and let's say the minimum element is at that root, then the getMin operation returns T4 and the list T1, T3, and T5 as a pair. So removing an element from this list is no problem. It remains an ascending sequence, so it remains a valid sparse binary number. We have just removed a digit, flipped a digit from 1 to 0.
Okay, so how to delete the minimum element? Now we have the tree with the minimum element, and we have the remaining, the list of the other trees. But at the end we want a new heap that contains all the elements but the root of this tree. So here the idea is, let's have a look how this tree looks like. It is one node, A, labeled with A. This A is our minimum element. And below, it was rank 4, right? So we have rank 4. And below, we have 3, 2, 1, 0. We have 4 children with ranks 3, 2, 1, and 0, and some elements. Okay, what to do next? Well, we have to remove this element, so it's enough to take the list of these children. We reverse it to make it the same representation as this, and if we reverse it, we have another heap. If we reverse this list, the list of these children, it's again a sparse binary number representing the heap data structure, a valid heap data structure only of the children. So now we have two heap data structures, one representing the heap without this tree, one representing the elements of this tree without the root. So we can merge them and are done. So that's what this thing does. So we do the minimum, we get the minimum element. And again, sorry for the X, A, and X. That seems again to be some relict of the Isabel Pretty printing. So it should be rank and probably again underscores, because I'm not interested in their values. I do this getmin, I retrieve the node with the minimum element, and I retrieve the heap TS2 with the remaining elements. Well, I reverse TS1, giving me a valid heap again, and merge it with TS2. And then I get the heap with all the elements, and only this element at the root of the tree with the minimum element missing, so minimum was deleted. Any questions to this? Okay. Yeah, and note here we need a reverse operation because we stored to make the other operations like link more efficient. We chose to store the children in descending order, but the heap in ascending order. So in order to align it before we merge, we need a reverse here. Any questions? Okay. Now about the complexity of this operation. So we have a valid heap implementation. We can prove it correct. So the correctness proofs of these operations are more or less straightforward. I don't think there is much more than induct auto and a few simplemmas involved. So now for the complexity. So let's recall that a tree, the size of a tree is exactly 2 to the power of its rank. So for a heap, with a similar argument, the number of elements in a heap, the size of a heap, is more than 2 to the power of its length. So it's the same argument as we had. So let's consider a heap that is
that let's consider a heap with lengths let's consider a heap with lengths h, so it will have some trees. Let's say we have length 5, so we will have some trees. And now, to make the number of elements as small as possible intuitively, what would be the range of these trees? Yes, starting with 0. So if there is any, if there is any gap in this sequence, it has more elements than this sequence. So it's enough to regard this sequence. No worry, Isabel's argument is a bit more complicated. I think this is one of the this is one of the homeworks doing this argument in the Isabel setting. This is we can argue that we have only have to regard this this heap here, because if there would be a gap, it would have more elements, and we want to find a bound in this direction. So we might we can regard the smallest size possible with length 5, and we have to show that it's still greater than 2 to the power of the length. Well, we add up we add up all the elements. Perhaps there's a 1 missing? Strange. Is there a plus 1 missing? If I add up these elements, I get 2 to the power of 5 minus 1. Yeah? So there's a plus one missing, probably. So if I continue this argument, I add up these sizes, I get 2 to the power of 5 minus 1. Right. Yeah, so there's a plus 1 missing. Sorry for that.
Okay. But so for the this plus one missing, but for the order of asymptotic complexity, it's no problem anyway. So the complexity of the operations are linear in the length of the heap. Remember, they only iterated over the heap, did this addition, or found the minimum element, and so on. So this means the operations are all logarithmic in the number of elements. And the proofs, well, so we only iterate over the heap, should be no problem, should it? There's one problem. So let's go through the operations. We have delete minimum, get minimum, or find minimum. So what does it do? It finds the minimum node of the roots in this list. Well, we can implement this in linear time over the length of the list. No problem. So this one here, get min, well, it does on delete min, well, it does only a get min. We can definitely implement that in linear time over the list. And then it does a merge. So we have to look at merge. What complexity does merge have? Well, this is clear. So I claim merge has a complexity length of the length of both arguments. So the sum of the lengths of the arguments. So this is clear. This is no problem. And here, well, here it's no problem. The length decreases by 1. Here the length decreases by 1. Here the length even decreases by 2. But after I have done the merge, I do another inst tree on the result for to do about that. So here, here's the merges again. So for inst tree, the complexity is again the length of the, so inst tree also, it went once over the list, so inst tree is the length, the complexity of inst tree is the length of the argument. So I have a merge, and on the result of the merge, I do another insert tree. So let's do a naive, approximation of this. Well, the length of a merge, we can definitely say the length of the merge is not more than the length of its arguments. We can easily prove that. So the length of merge will not be more than the length of TS1 plus the length of TS2. This is very easy to prove. Here the length descends by 1, we append 1. The length decreases by 1, we append 1. The length decreases by 2, we only append 1. So we always are below the length of the sum of the arguments, the result. So we could try to estimate inst tree by the lengths of TS1 and TS2. No, there's no plus one.
TS1 and TS2 are of equal size, then we have to carry.
Yes, we have really many carries, which all get zeros and thus vanish from the list. So here, a carry, the carry case is this one, and the carry, it does not, so the length of the resulting tree, it's the length of TS1 plus TS2 plus one. So the length is even one smaller than the original, that's the original length here. So we can do this estimate here. We can prove it. And if we have this, well, then we have to build up a recurrence equation for merge.
And this recurrence equation will roughly look something like so let's only consider the third case. So if we have a merge call with the size of the arguments n, what will be in the third case? So we first do a recursive merge call with the size of the argument n minus 2. So it's both TS1 and TS2 get one off. So we have a recursive call with n minus 2. And then we do some additional work, namely for the inst tree, so the link is constant, the link operation was constant, but we do some additional work for the insert tree. And this is the length of TS1 plus TS2, so we estimated the length of the merge, we estimated the length of the merge by TS1 plus TS2, which is exactly n minus 2. And, well, as constant factors do not matter, as constant summons do not matter, I can just, for simplicity, write plus n. I just can assume that the link and the whole calling takes two units of time, and I get a plus n. So I would have a minus 2 here, and then I could plus whatever units of time this calls and so need, so I can do it with plus. This would roughly give something like this. Okay, can anyone tell me what complexity, what asymptotics this function has? It's quite easy to see. Only the asymptotics, not the exact bound.
Well, if you start with n, you will n divided by 2 times at n. So it's something like n divided by 2 and some Gauss brackets times n. You can see it's quadratic asymptotics. So it's just a rough estimation, it's not precise mathematics here. But this clearly has quadratic behavior. So this is clearly quadratic. It's clearly quadratic, it's not linear. Unfortunately, we want it linear, right? We want to have operations of log n, not log to the power, not log squared n. So this estimation will not work. So we have a problem here to estimate the complexity. So what could be the idea? So my estimation was too rough. Actually, this is a point where I did not like Okazaki's book. Okazaki writes, it's clear that everything is logarithmic, dot. That's all he writes about complexity. I don't think this is that clear. No, there are cases where the length of the merge is actually
is actually the sum of both trees. If you add 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1 with 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, you have length 3 here, you have length 3 here, and the merge has length 6. So there are cases where it matches this complexity. But in the case where we have length 6, what happened? Yes? We did not do any carry. So actually we did not do any work in this last case that causes problems. And whenever we do a carry, the length decreases by 1. And that's exactly the crucial idea how to do this analysis. We have to look at how many carries we actually performed. And whenever we perform a carry, the length decreases by 1. So the argument is, we cannot fall in the case that we always are in the last case and do really large merges here, but it will be that whenever we do a carry, the length decreases by 1, and the work that we somehow the work that we did for the carry can be distributed over the rest. And the idea how to get it done in Isabel is we estimate together the cost and the remaining length of the result. So for insert tree, we prove this. We prove that the length of insert tree, so the cost we need for insert tree plus the length of the remaining thing is bounded by the length of the argument. So for the formalization here, we can even prove an equality here for insert tree. So this means the cost of insert tree is the length minus the length that remains. So the cost of insert tree is actually smaller than the length of TS. It's only the length of TS minus the length of the result. And then we can prove for merge with this easy induction a similar lemma, so the length of the merge plus the time that we needed for the merge is less than the linear bound in the length that we want. And with this bound, which is even more precise than only linear, with this bound the inductions go through immediately, induct auto. And the idea is in this case, well, we know that the length must decrease
If we do much work here, the length will decrease. That's somehow the idea. So if we estimate this, everything goes easily. You just have to, you can do it by straightforward induction. You get this estimate here. And yeah, this is of course, if we remove just the length of the result here, and we may safely remove it, preserving this smaller than, we get the desired linear bound. Then we have the time required for merge less than something linear in the sum of the lengths. Yeah, we are fast. I thought I need more time for this stuff because it's quite complex. So any questions? Then we can use a few minutes of the remaining time. So I will kit a few minutes earlier, and we can use a few minutes of the remaining time to have a quick walk through the formalization of this, the Isabel formalization of this whole stuff. So there was no formalization at all here. So we can have I can give a quick intro to the formalization of this stuff. So public is a repository that you also can see online, and here it's in theory bin heap. So I'll just give you a quick tour through the formalization. We don't need this. It's a bit unfortunate. I did not dare to use the old Beamer setup that, because I don't know what caused the technical problems that I have in the tutorial, but I wanted to have recording at least for the lecture, so I did not dare to change anything with this setup. This works, and don't touch it. Okay, so we have this Binner binomial heap. So it's based on the parity queue theory, which provides the locale for parity queues. So this was this interface for parity queues. I forgot. Okay, and it's based on some preliminaries. So this theory just contains some preliminary lemmas that were not there. So for example, this lemma that we needed a few times this lecture already, and then some formalization of what's a strictly ascending and strictly descending list. And that's all what's in there. Perhaps you will need some of these lemmas. Formalize the argument that if you sum up two lists and in one list is element-wise smaller than the other, then the result is, of course, also element-wise smaller. So there's some formalization. So you have a strictly ascending list. And if you sum up over 0 to ns, to lengths of the list, or if you sum up the elements of this list. So this is...
you have a strictly ascending list, so it has elements 2, 3, let's say 5 and 6, this is a list of lengths 4. And the other list you sum up over is 0, 1, 2, 3. The sum of this list will always be smaller than the sum of this list. This is what this lemma said, and this is exactly the argument you need for these estimations that I did here. Well, I said the extreme case is that we have this list, and it's enough to estimate this case. And that's exactly the first argument you need. When you have any other case, your extreme case is smaller, and then you can do the estimation there.
And here we have this monotonic function f with which we may map the elements to make this lemma more usable. Okay, this is the auxiliary theory. I have to go back. Then here we have the data types that you already saw. It defines the multiset of the elements. So here we can define functions, and we actually can recurse over the elements of this list. So remember that the C is a list of children. So the recursive function may be applied to the elements of the list of the children. And the function package is usually set up powerful enough that it just works. So this is some kind of tricky recursion. It goes through a sum, it goes through a conversion to multiset, but at the end, the T is an element of this list C. And as long as the function package can prove that by auto, it will just work. So then we can, of course, define the multiset of the heap so similar along the same lines. We do a summation. No, it's a yes. It's well defined. It's plus, and plus on multisets is union. Yeah. So that's another thing. The sum operation in Isabel is not only defined for natural numbers; it's defined for virtually everything that has an addition operator. So it's defined in some of these monoid add type classes. I can't go there right now. Yeah, so it's defined for virtually anything that has addition.
So how do we parse it? C is a list of all children.
I convert this list C to its multiset representation, and then I do a summation over all the elements T in this multiset, and I add up the multisets. Yes, I do a summation over all trees T in the multiset C. Yes. No, the element, and then I iterate over all trees in this multiset, map these trees to their multisets of elements, and add them up. So it's, you have to read it as
you have a heap, it starts with T1, T2, Tn. These are the trees in your list. And then you iterate over all these trees, apply mset tree. To it and add it up. This is the sum. This is the sum symbol. and add them all up. That's what it does. And I convert this list to a multiset just because for lists this operation was not that nicely defined. Yes?
Is there a reason why we convert the list of children to a multiset and not just to a folder over the list?
Probably we could do it with a fold over the list. Probably we could do a fold. Yes, maybe.
Probably there's no reason. Probably we could write it as it's well possible that it works like this, but not. This will not work. No. No online Isabel hacking. Induction C. Yeah, so I would have to generalize it at this point, and but I think this will work. Okay, then we have just some auxiliary lemmas to give it more nice representations, and I think at least at this point I have the fold characterization already as simp lemmas. So I have the then I have the invariants, you have already seen them, and this is B. I have split them into two definitions. I have this B invariants for binomial thing, so this says it has a binomial structure. This says it's the strictly ascending thing, and I have it as I'd call them O invariants for ordering, so that's the heap property of the trees. And here we have, this is a standard heap invariant generalized to these trees as arbitrary many successors. So it says the children must be heaps, and smaller, the root of the children must be smaller than the root of the whole tree. So note that this one is only defined one level. So if you define a heap property, you have two options. If you have a node and you have some children, and you have the node labeled as A, then you have two options how to define the heap property. One option is we say A is smaller than any element in the successors converted to multisets, or converted to set. So you say A is not only is smaller than this, but also smaller than this, this, and this. The other property is, the other option is you just say A is smaller than the roots of its children, which by transitivity implies that it's also smaller than the rest. And you can use both, they are both equivalent, and it may make some proofs easier, some proofs more complicated, and sometimes you just write down both specifications and prove them equivalent. Here I use this non-transitive specification, so I only say the roots of the children must be greater than the root of this node. Then we have the operations. We already have seen link, and for each operation you have to show that it preserves the invariant, both the tree and the ordering invariant. This is the inst tree that you have already seen. You have to show that it proves the invariant. You see it's all induct auto proofs with only little tuning. This is the inst tree. Then we have this merge operation. It's also what you have seen. And the merge operation is a bit more complicated to prove, actually. So you had to show that the result of a merge does not produce trees with smaller ranks. This was the crucial idea here.
So if you do a merge, if you add up two trees, then you won't, won't pop up a one where there was no one previously. So let's say we have these numbers. If you add these two numbers, then you know for sure in the result here and here will be no one. And that is important for this merge operation to work. Otherwise, the invariant of this deferred carry would not hold. If you add up here and you insert a carry from here, but in the result of the addition a one pops up here, your invariant, the carry, must always be shifted in from the lowest position, would not hold. So that makes this proof a bit more complicated at this point. So I proved these rank-bound lemmas that more or less say exactly that. If you have a T prime, in the result of the merge, and this T is bound by some other T prime, then this T will also be bound by the T prime in the set of the merge. This is a bit, sorry for the duplicate T prime. I did not even realize that it was there. But this is more or less this idea. And you have to use it to show the heap invariant. And here I had to, do an ESA proof. And it works by going over the three cases of the merge. So I used this nice construct here. You probably have not seen it already. Have you seen it already? So this is another way of doing a case distinction in ESA. So you write down your cases. You just write them as formulas. You can give them names. So this is the case LT, this is the case GT, and this is the case EQ. Less than, greater than, equal. And if you have written them, you get a proof obligation here that it's a valid case distinction. So it looks something like this. There's a proof obligation that it's a valid, so a complete case distinction. It need not be unique, but it must be complete. It must cover all cases. If you have proved that, then you get a proof state where you can apply cases, just by cases, and you have the cases that you specified up there readily available. So this is just, and I have, you have to do it by case distinction, so the LT and GT cases, that is where you don't call the inst tree, are straightforward. And for the equality case, you have to do one intermediate step here to get it. You have seen this construct, right? A method after QED. So this is if you have a proof, and
there are some cases that are straightforward in the proof. So here I only, for the outermost induction, I only consider case 3. And case 1 and 2 are straightforward. And I just say OK and simp all for case 1 and 2, please. For all what remains. So this is another thing here. And then we can prove the invariance, we can do the find min. The proofs are all, again, more or less straightforward. This one is not, but it was this. So this one is a result of a sledgehammer call. And we can, so this is the formalization that you saw. Is there anything more interesting? Yeah, the complexity. So first you have to prove these two size. You have to prove these two size estimations. So this is the size estimation for a single tree that always has 2 to the power of its rank elements. Well, I did it very explicitly in ESA using chains of inequations. But this is a very explicit proof. I'm sure there are more automatic proofs if you want. So this is even more explicit than what I sketched on the board. And the same thing goes. The same thing goes for the size of the for the size of the heap. And here I'm using this argument with going to the extreme case of having a strictly ascending sequence. So I start with the sequence 0 to length TS, and I, in the first thing I say, well, this must be a smaller sum than the sum over my actual tree TS. This is exactly from going from the thing that may have gaps to the complete sequence starting at 0. This does this argument, and I'm using this helper lemma here, and then I do the estimation. Then I do the estimation here. This is just conversion of some rewriting of things, and then we can do the timing function. So I'm using the standard technique to obtain timing functions here. And I prove, this is a naive bound for T insert, not considering the length of the result. And here I have the more refined bounds. This is the one for T insert, considering the length of the result. And as you see, it's an induct auto proof. The same here. This is the bound for the merge that you get. It's an induct auto proof. So once you have the idea of doing the bounds of the timing together with the lengths, the proofs are induct auto. And having this, you can prove the bound for the merge. And here I used another feature of ESA. I'm not sure whether you have seen that. Have you seen the defines feature in lemmas? So if you want to make your lemmas more readable, you can introduce ad hoc abbreviations in the lemma. So I just say N1 is the size of the tree TS1 and N2 is the size of the tree TS2. And then I can phrase my lemma using N1 and N2. So this is a desired logarithmic bound, bound in for merge. So it's N1 plus N2, and I had to add some constant factors and so on to get it through. And this is this proof is almost straightforward. It's just this lengthy computation to do it step by step, and persuade Isabel that each of these steps is correct, actually. That's it. And if you have this this bound, then you can get the other bounds more or less easily. And I even here it's even done. It's even goes to the extreme, including a complexity estimate for the implementation of ref.
So the reverse function, if you look what does how is ref implemented in the if you export it to actual code, you get this definition for ref. It may is a fold fold over this. So you have to do a timing function for fold, and the timing function for fold, for the timing function of fold, the question is what to do with this higher order thing. So fold gets a higher order argument. So here the answer is you can just pass through a timing function for the higher order argument to the fold. And then here a fold will cost the timing to apply one times its function plus the timing for the recursive fold. And if you have this, well, if the timing function happens to be a constant, you get a very simple estimate for the cost of the fold. You have to apply the timing function length L times, and you get a plus one for this case. If it is not a constant, you can do arbitrary complex estimations there. Fortunately, in our case, the cost of a list cons is a constant. So then we could also get a precise estimation of this delete min that uses the reverse operation here. And this again, this whole stuff that you need to do this logarithm reasoning. It's just you just have to write it on paper in as small steps as you can imagine of, and then translate it from paper to Isabel and hope that Sledgehammer or Auto or whatever will find a proof for the single steps. And then you get these bounds, and that's it. So finally you can instantiate the priority queue locale with your heaps, and once you have done this, you are sure you have not forgotten any lemmas. So at this point you will see if you do not manage to instantiate the priority queue interface, then you will see which lemmas you have forgotten. For example, you may have forgotten the empty heap, or forgotten to show the empty heap satisfies its invariant. Instantiating this priority queue, you will be forced to prove all these lemmas that you might have forgotten. Usually they are easy, but you will see whether you forgot something or not. I think I forgot the empty heap in my initial go here. And then you're done. And this is just a possible exercise. It's online anyway, so we will not do it as an exercise. I thought to do it as an exercise so you can implement this just a combined find and delete operation. Okay. That's it. Thank you very much, and sorry it was I used the time anyway. And see you in the tutorial. So the tutorial will be focused on this sparse binary number representation that's the foundation of this numerical method. Kann ich vielleicht sogar recht schnell sagen, ich habe noch keine Skripte. Moment, ich mache eben hier das Recording aus, das läuft nämlich noch. Mal sehen, wie der mit dem Suspend zurechtkommt.
Haben wir alles verloren.
Könnte passiert sein, ich kenn dieses Tool nicht.
Hey, wie weit bist du denn aufgegangen? Am Anfang? Also mir fehlt nur noch eins, wenn du willst, können wir uns dann machen gemeinsam. Ich wollte gerade fragen, wie wir...